God, I hope I don't fuck this intro up. Here we go. Hey guys, welcome back to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. Fuck, I did not mess that up. I thought I was. I'm being dramatic. It has been over a year since I dropped an episode. Last episode I dropped was January of 2021. I've been going around and telling people that I haven't dropped an episode in almost 2 years because that's how long it's felt. Especially with all this COVID stuff that's going around, everything going on in the world, it feels like fucking forever. But I am back and in full effect for today, at least. I am with it. I am dropping this episode. And in true fashion, I've got my boy Jay riding shotgun with me today.
Hey, everyone.
I need that support today.
I'm going
to
try.
Yeah, I need at least a couple of episodes of just kind of having you there just to get back in the swing of things and to kind of back me up when it comes to some of the shit that I'm going to be saying. Because a lot, and again, I know you guys are used to me always saying, a lot's happened, a lot's going on, blah, 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 blah. But seriously, it fucking has.
Yeah.
And the reason why I haven't dropped an episode in almost a year and a half was because, first of all, we had to deal with all that COVID shit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the fucking energy to do it. I was wondering, you know, people were reaching out left and right, asking for sessions, worried about the state of the fucking world, and then jumping into business stuff. You know, doing Zoom meetings, doing Zoom interviews, mm-hmm. like on The Real with Garcelle, her own podcast, and doing all this stuff. I had a lot going on. And then on top of all that, it was time to go back to school for me.
Yeah.
Spiritual school. I'm talking about lessons from my guides. Again, it's going to sound hokey, that are meant to sharpen and heighten my abilities. Lessons that I needed to learn, things I needed to see, things I needed to feel, to put me where I need to be presently.
Yeah.
And also, too, got rid of a lot of excess baggage. Really trim the fat out of what we were doing as far as, like, business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, business relationships came to an end for the better. And I'll get into all that stuff later on. I had put it out there on social media, on Instagram. That's the only place that I'm at nowadays. And I had posted a story saying that I was going to, you know, drop another episode for In Your Head. And people fucking loved it. Because people ask me all the time, when are you going to get back on there? I miss it. I miss my good kick in the ass in the morning. And I feel bad because I really want to do it. There's just no time. And a lot's gone on.
Yeah.
So you guys fucking did not. I was not short of questions. You guys came with it. And I love the fact that you guys know me and know how to goose my asshole the way that you guys do by talking to me in a certain way. And what the biggest question that I got, aside from like all like the Stassi, Lala, and Katie stuff, all that, you know, drama that's going on in the news with every one of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, breaking up, relationships and shit. But the one question that I got asked over and over again, and it kind of, you know, it switches around a little bit. I'm just going to be very general with this, was, why did you abandon us for so long?
Where'd you go? What yeah. happened?
Where did you go? What happened? Are you okay? You know, blah, blah, blah. What's good, right?
Life happened.
Yeah. life fucking happened. I mean, I'm known for saying it all the time, but yes, a lot of shit has fucking happened. A lot of lessons that I needed to pay attention to. And some really trippy stories as far as, like, you know, things that had happened in the house. Things that I've witnessed. Predictions that I didn't want to see come true, but had no other choice but to deal with. I mean, it's been absolutely fucking insane, but incredibly blessed to be able to go through those experiences, still be able to do what I do as far as like my sessions, appearances, and all that great stuff. It's been a ride. But again, life happens, and you guys already know, I don't feel like coming on here or doing an episode if I don't have a real good, meaty show to give you.
Mm-hmm. Something just, with substance.
Yeah, I don't want to just shoot the shit. I mean, I can do that on Instagram, and I do that every day. I mean, I'm really connected to some of you out there, like my girl Crystal. That fucking chick cracks me up all the fucking time. Her sense of humor, it has me fucking dying. And I sometimes forget, you know, when I'm getting ready to do the show, what topics I want to talk about, because I spend so much time going back and forth with people that follow me, like on Instagram and stuff. And I'm telling them stories because they're asking, you know, what's good? How's everything going with you?
Mm-hmm.
Is everything, you know, what have you been up to? And I make these connections and I feel like, you know, I've said these stories already, but I'm just telling people as like conversation.
Yeah, that's why I think you should do like an Instagram live like every week and catch everyone up so you don't have to that that pressure.
Yeah, and I've been a little bit more, not as much as I could or should be, a little bit more active on Instagram, especially like going live.
Mm-hmm.
I did an episode with Fix My Life podcast for 420 right before my birthday. And, you know, I was stoned as fuck. And so she, you know, puts the camera on and there I am and I'm stoned and I can't stop fucking laughing, but I had a good fucking time. I did a couple of we working Wednesdays with this woman out of DC,
uh-huh.
where I had to do a live with her and jumped on there and did it. And then she had another episode where she was talking about like, fuck, everything's like going wrong. And it was during the very beginning of Mercury retrograde. My fucking dumbass got on that live. And remember how I looked? My hair wasn't combed. I hadn't shaved. I felt like she needed to hear what I had to say to kind of give her some sanity.
Yeah.
And jumped on there and just, you know, did my thing. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with it. I have lost some good weight.
You did.
And I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable and in my zone. And a lot of you guys, again, I promise to get to these questions, but I just want to tell you how grateful I am for some of you out there as far as like the banter that we have back and forth and you guys knowing some of my insecurities and fears by like listening to the show, listening to episodes that I've done with other people and kind of hitting me up and being like, it's okay, go do what you have to do and be confident and kind of building me up that way.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. So I want to get into the question again, why did you abandon us? And I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like I had to go back to school, spiritual mm-hmm. school. There was lessons that I needed to learn, things I needed to go through, things I needed to witness. My ability needed to be heightened and sharpened in a different way. I remember this feeling because this happened back in 2014 when all the negative shit took place. That was the beginning of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had to get up and move. I knew there were shifts that were going to come into play. And I had to disconnect.
Yeah, and I didn't think about that until you said, you know what? Yeah, it is going back to school. I do have to sharpen my skills and gain more experience.
Yeah. And see what I needed to see to evolve on that personal level, not business level,
mm-hmm.
but on a personal level.
Yeah.
And deal with some of these things. And also, you had to deal with a lot too.
Yeah.
There was lessons that you need to learn and that I had been on your ass for a couple of years for, and it finally came into fruition last year.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster for sure.
And so dealing with all that, but I am back. And again, I'm going to do this episode and we'll take it from there. I'm not making any promises because I don't want to disappoint you and I don't want to disappoint myself. So we're going to take it one episode at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, gone back to school, did what I needed to do. Let's go get into another question really fast. I want to knock these all out because I want to get to the spiritual stuff because I feel like I have a lot to say in a short amount of time. So let's talk about Stassi. That's one of the biggest questions that I get. I have nothing negative to say about that woman, nor will I ever. I've had the pleasure of working with Stassi for a few years now. As far as like sessions and getting to know her on a personal and professional level. And 2022, even though we're just barely halfway through it, I've had a lot of experience with her and have met with her a couple of times and was invited to her house to hang out and, you know, just shoot the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know that she was going to talk about that on her podcast, but apparently she told people that I had came over and I keep quiet. I don't know. It's not that I don't know what to say about my celebrity friends,
uh-huh.
but I always feel the need to be professional the way that a therapist or a doctor would.
Well, yeah, you have to.
And as much as I want to geek out a little bit because, you know, the energy's different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you're with people that are, I wouldn't go so far as to say like-minded, but you have common interests with personally and also professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And you look and you admire these people because you see their hustle. You see their strength. You see that they have flaws. They make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's obviously no exception to that. However, with her and getting to know her, and she's an incredibly intuitive woman, super smart and true definition of a hustler. And I had the opportunity to hang out with her and be invited to her house. And the questions that I get asked all the time, because again, I don't put it out there. People are like, oh my God, Stassi said you were over there. Tell us everything. Say more. Say everything. Don't leave anything out. This is how my people talk to me because they know I love to fucking, I'm all about that shit. Uh-huh.
And they get all the gossip and the details.
And you guys fucking know that I hold back a lot as far as like my sense of humor because I have to be, I have to be this way just a little bit,
uh-huh.
but I'm loosening up. And so, again, we share a lot of, you know, the same sense of humor, me and the people that I banter with back and forth. So the biggest questions were, what was her house like? What did you guys eat? What did you drink? What did you wear? How was she acting? How was she around Bo? What's Hartford like? You know, what is it like when they're all together? And these are all questions for sure.
Really?
For sure that I would be asking somebody else if it was a celebrity that I was geeking over, like Little Kim. I'm not saying that I don't geek over Stassi, Lala, and Katie, but I know them on a different level. Not better than anybody else, but I just know them as, like, human beings.
You don't see them as that TV person.
I don't see them
person.
As Vanderpump.
Yeah, yeah.
No. But I will say Stassi has a very commanding presence.
Mm-hmm.
And she is no bullshit. And maybe she may not say everything that's going on, but I can be goddamn sure that she's catching everything that's going on. By her eyes. She wears her cancer, her water energy very well. And so that's what I'm going to say about her right off the bat. But her home is beautiful. Gorgeous. Spanish style, European at the same time. She's got, I mean, it's absolutely stunning. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is so beautiful. I didn't get a chance to see everything around the whole house.
Because
what am I going to say? Oh, can I take a tour of it or whatever? No. So got the opportunity to hang out there. Lala was there. Beautiful.
I know you love some yourself.
Love
some Lala.
Yeah, Lala's gorgeous. Katie was there.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany was there. She is married to that guy Jax, the one that gets a lot of shit. There's a lot of controversy with him or whatever. I have never met her before. That's the first time I ever interacted with her. Mm-hmm. Such a great lady. I mean, great woman. So fucking down to earth. I forget where she's from, but she's got this cute little accent.
The southern accent.
Yeah, southern side of the United States. But she did not want a reading. She wasn't shitty about it, but she was like, oh, maybe some other time. And I was like, okay, whatever, no problem. But that did not stop her from having a full-on conversation with me.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about her baby, Cruz. We talked about, you know, psychic stuff and some of the things that I've seen and witnessed. Rob was there. Rob Evers was there.
Mm-hmm.
Lo was there. Bo was there, obviously. And God, I know I'm leaving a couple people out. But yeah. And I had the chance to actually talk to Jax face to face. And
how's that?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I did not know what to expect. And people are going to be like, you're a psychic. What do you mean you didn't know what to expect? I didn't. I've heard things or whatever, but mm-hmm. I want to see for myself. And he was fucking polite as fuck. Very down to earth. Shook my fucking hand. Looked at me in the eye when he shook my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And just was and kept it moving. We had a little bit of a conversation, but I was so all over the place that I wanted to spend time. Katie was throwing down tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to listen to what readings she was giving to somebody else. I wanted to get a reading from her too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was just like talking, having a really good time. And I'm gonna be funny though. Stassi ordered pizza, and I was like, "Fuck! I wish there was a ranch at my pizza," because I started to get a little bit relaxed or whatever,
uh-huh.
and there was none to be found. And after I got done fucking slamming like two slices down my fucking throat, I look over and I'm like, "Where's Stassi at?" or whatever, because I wanted to talk to her real fast. And she's in the kitchen eating her pizza, and I notice that she's dipping it in ranch.
She's all hoarding it.
Yeah, and I was like, "Where the fuck was that?" But I didn't say anything. I chilled. I was like, "You're already done, fat fuck. Just keep it moving."
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I had to throw that out there. But yeah, it was a really good time. No shady shit. I didn't feel too uncomfortable a little bit at the beginning because you're meeting a lot of different people,
mm-hmm.
but it was fun. I had a really good time. Her daughter, Hartford, what a handful. And I mean that in the most positive, funny way.
Mm-hmm.
Stassi's really going to have a good time with that kid, with her growing up. She is going to be something else. And she does not give a shit about playing with other kids. She can entertain herself. She's very sassy and very independent and super smart. Like she's a little observant child. So I got to see that kid in her element. And so I'm used to seeing her all over Instagram,
mm-hmm.
you know, pictures and stuff. And this was right before Stassi went to go get married. And so we, you know, had a good time there. And it was fun.
Good.
And I have to shout out Stassi. I'm going to jump off the Stassi train here. But shout out to Stassi for putting my name in her book. You guys have no idea how hard I cried, how hard I prayed after that, and how incredibly grateful I am to Stassi. For everything that she has done for me. And maybe she doesn't realize that she's done it for me, but indirectly,
mm-hmm.
she's done a lot. And I gotta give it up to her. My loyalty is with her. I have nothing negative to say. I know what it's like to have the finger pointed at you
mm-hmm.
and to have people try to tear you down. And I gotta give it to her. Fucking natural born hustler. So keep doing your thing, girl. I will always back you up. Want to jump onto Lala. because that's the second crazy story here.
Mm-hmm.
You guys. I want to talk shit and I want to mention everything. I want to gossip as gay as fuck all the time. Another big question is, what was it like doing the podcast with Lala and Randall? And you definitely alluded to the fact that this was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew exactly what you were talking. These are people telling me how they felt about the show that I did with them.
Uh-huh.
And you have to understand something. Again, I am funny on this show. I can cut loose with you guys on social media, but I have to be professional and I have to be that psychic. I do not want to come across as one of those psychics that loves to gossip and talk shit about
stir the pot.
Yeah, stir the pot. That's not what I'm fucking here for. And I take my clients very seriously. Give a fuck if they're a celebrity or your everyday person. Because I work with a lot of different people. And I look at them all the same. And I will never, ever discuss a client with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity or not. I don't give a fuck. That's just not what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know. For sure. Dossie, Lala, and Katie, and everybody that I've read. The Real Housewives people.
Mm-hmm.
That I am notorious for keeping it very private.
Yeah.
I don't post anything on social media about the readings that I do. Lala went to go do her podcast. I got to give it up here. I mean, God, Stassi's beautiful. Katie's beautiful. Lala's beautiful. But to see these women in person, I mean, they're glam in their pictures, right? They look gorgeous. I have nothing to say bad about them. But in person, whole different level. And they're in their fucking element, and they're not wearing all that makeup, and they're still beautiful, right?
It's not all filter.
It's not filter. No. And I'll get to influencers and their fucking filters. I'm going to talk just a little bit of shit.
That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah, just a little bit of shit. But Lala was, she's a Virgo. So her energy, she was very, I'm not going to say nervous, but maybe a little bit anxious or whatever. She had a lot going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I showed up to do the podcast, I always show up with flowers.
Yeah.
For the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I've only given flowers to a man once, and that was to Nick Vial, because it's Nick Vial.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for Valentine's Day. And I had given him a dozen roses, a box of chocolates, right?
Yeah.
In a reading, something like that. Anyway, so get to Lala and Randall. I mean, they're sitting, both of them are sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here before. I do a lot of therapy sessions. A lot of psychic counseling with couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 7 out of 10 times, the dude is going to jump up and get a little bit buck with me because they feel like they're being cornered and being exposed.
Two against one.
Yeah. Because the girl will always, you know, be like, definitely feel that I'm sympathizing and empathizing with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel comfortable to talk shit or let their feelings out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had guys jump up and be like, what the fuck is this? Like, you're fucking with her head.
Yeah.
And I got to keep it real. I'm not saying this for points here, but I will tell them, you need to sit the fuck down and chill the fuck out. Because what you're really mad about is that there's nowhere to fucking hide and you're being exposed for shit. Totally different when you're doing a podcast, because my intention is not to go and stir the pot or cause drama there.
Mm-hmm.
But I said what I said, and it's no surprise that the relationship wasn't going to work out. And there was going to be problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be respectful of both parties. Doesn't matter how I feel about either one of them.
Yeah.
And also her mother was there. And her daughter was there. And so was her whole team. And the whole team is looking at me like, oh my God. Like, you're hitting everything on the head. Say more.
Yeah, they looked pretty like, oh, what else is he going to say?
And Lala is sitting there and I'm reading her. And I can just was like, I'm not going to do this to her.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. And so I politely told her afterward, I want to talk to you alone. And we took it from there. As far as Randall, that was my only interaction with him.
I mean,
I think one time afterward. It was one time afterward, but that was it. And it is what it is. Stevie Wonder could have seen that coming. But at the same time, like I said, I got to keep it moving. I have to be professional. And I had a great time doing it. And just to throw Lala back on there, beautiful. Absolutely. I mean, when I say her body, I'm not talking about like the way that it looks, but like her vibe and the way that she carries herself. She's just like Stassi and Katie, very down to earth, but she's got a little bit of a gangster in her.
You love that Virgo vibe.
And her fucking ass went and got a tattoo with her. I forgot what the area code is for Utah. It's like Salt Lake City or something. I think that's where she's from. And she had it fucking tattooed on her shoulder. And I was like, fuck, if I wasn't such a pussy, I'd have 818 in the same spot. She's a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter's gorgeous. So that's what I'm going to say about Lala.
Okay.
And I'm just going to keep it moving with her. Katie Maloney,
mm-hmm.
Vanderpump, had the opportunity to do her show twice, once over Zoom, and I hated that because I wanted to see her in person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a soft spot for Katie because she reminds me of a little sister, and she's, I mean, again, no exception, she's gorgeous, and her fucking eye game is insane.
Yeah.
She's got the most beautifulest fucking eyes, and when she talks to you, she's really looking at you and she's reading you. And this is a woman that's been through a lot, and it takes an incredible amount of energy and strength for her to, I'm not saying that her life's always difficult, but for her to stay leveled.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that, and I appreciate that from her, because it shows her strength, and she's one of the funniest people that I've ever had the pleasure of talking to.
Mm-hmm.
She's super down to earth. I don't feel any type of bullshit. We went to Granville, and we were there for like maybe 2.5 hours, and we had a couple of cocktails, and we were having lunch. And she, what I love about her and is that it's not that I'm nervous to eat in front of Lala or Stassi or anything like that, but like with Katie, she just seemed like somebody that I would have already hung out with, or she would have already been in my friend group as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like a little bit more comfortable with her. Mm-hmm. And she's easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, you know, she's guarded. She's been through some shit. And I did her podcast, and there was things that I wanted to allude to, but she wasn't ready, and she wanted to handle things in her own time. And we kept it moving. But she's great. I have nothing negative to say about her. Before I go on to the next person, the next show that I did, or the next question here, shout out to all the Vanderpump kids, because these are people that, and I say kids because they're so young, that have really extended a lot of opportunities and a lot of recognition for me, and I appreciate the shit out of them. And I would love to be on an episode of the show. I think it's long overdue and it's time, but I want to be on an episode.
Let's put it out there.
Yeah, I want to put it out there. I want to be on Vanderpump. I want to do an episode with them, and I definitely want to get on The Real Housewives. I don't care what franchise it is, preferably Beverly Hills or New York, but I would love to do that and get involved in that. I have read some of newer cast members.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say who, but I've read a lot of the Housewives, and I have different relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that I fucking respect the shit out of, and I love, and I feel is like, even though I'm older than her, I feel like she's an anti-type vibe to me, and that's Monique Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
From Real Housewives of Potomac. That girl is a triple fucking Libra. And I've always kind of been finicky with Libras because it's Libra. But Libra can be just a little bit, it's too airy for me sometimes. You know, I've had unusual experience, especially with, I'm just going to keep it like that. But she is a triple Libra, and she blew me away with where she's at in her spiritual journey. And I'm not giving anything away that she hasn't already said,
mm-hmm.
but she is really cocooning herself on her journey. And what I mean by that is taking time to reflect, taking time to hear her guides, taking her time to go within and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman that's been through a lot. She is, you know, equivalent to Stassi. She got, you know, kicked off the show. I mean, or she... Stassi slapped somebody on TV, and then Monique slapped somebody, but it got violent or whatever. I think that's what happened. You guys correct me if I'm wrong here, but that was her departure from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went in and started doing her own thing. She had her own podcast. I had did Giselle and Robin from Real Housewives of Potomac too. I did theirs after I did Monique's, right?
I don't remember.
It could have been the other way around, but I had read a couple of those girls. Love those two. Those two girls were down to earth. We had a really good fucking time. I did not hold back in that reading. And there was one of the people, I think it's, I don't want to say because I'll fuck it up, another Bravo account that hit me up and was like, ooh, you were spilling the tea on both those girls and you did not hold back and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I, for whatever reason, I had a wild hair up my ass and I wanted to keep it real.
Uh-huh.
But Monique Samuels has given me opportunity after opportunity. I've been on her podcast 6 times,
mm-hmm.
done the morning show with her and her crew in D.C., having to get up at 5 a.m. to do that show, reading people live on air with no pictures, nothing, psychically, doing a little bit of astrology and some medium stuff came through, But I gotta give it up to her. She is like my... I remember Aaron Spelling had mentioned about Heather Locklear.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Locklear starred in Melrose Place, and she totally saved that show. As soon as... Like, I won't even watch season one of Melrose Place. I automatically started on season two because... And this is the old Melrose Place. Because Heather Locklear was on there, and she fucking made that show.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the whole time, she wasn't included as the regular cast member. She was always included as special guest star, Heather Locklear. And he goes back and says, Heather's my good luck charm. She's like my good luck penny. And that's what I felt like with Monique, is that she just came in at a time to where she's bold, she's direct, and she's in your face, but she's also refined herself in a way to where I'm not going to light you up unless I absolutely have to, and kind of evolved her character that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect the shit out of her for it. And during that time frame that she was going through that, in me being on her show, she taught me a lot about myself too, as far as like the business side, the professional side of things here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like in giving more material to talk about. And I just absolutely adore her. There's nothing that I would not do for that woman. So I just have to shout her out, and shout out to Robin and Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac as well. Those girls had me fucking dying. One more, and then I'm going to jump into the spiritual stuff. Jeff Lewis Live. The reason why I'm going here with this is because I got a lot of followers from his camp, dedicated, true Jeff Lewis fans. However, with that being said, you guys really throw him under the fucking bus. Like, as far as like, maybe because he's like, you know, he's funny, he's got that sense of humor that you guys, you know, share that with him. But the biggest question I got asked with Jeff Lewis doing that podcast, of course, what was he like in person, and what are those lips like?
What?
And I know who Jeff Lewis is, uh-huh. Right? I know that he has a show. I know that what field he's in and the things that he does. But I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's just that it's not that I'm not into it.
You don't really watch reality TV other than like Love and Hip Hop and
Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, that's it.
But I had the opportunity to meet him, and apparently he had another psychic on his show that didn't fare well, and the fans fucking tore that person a new asshole, and Jeff did not want to, of course, have the same shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to vet me. I want a session with you before I consider putting you on the show.
Yeah.
And I got to give it to him. This is a fucking one-man show. You know, he's on Sirius and he has all that stuff and, you know, great, you know, backing when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did his podcast, this was during COVID times. When COVID was big, I did it from his house. And he is professional from start to finish. He is really hands-on with his business and knows everything that's going on there. So when he invited me over, he had said, you know, I'll pay for the reading. I was like, you're not paying for it. You can just pay me back by putting me on the show. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. We conducted his session in his bedroom. He invited me over to his house, gorgeous house. I think Machine Gun Kelly used to live right down the street from him or some shit like that.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. I would have loved to knock on his door. And read Jeff Lewis, and I got to put it out there. When you guys ask about his lips, I can see why, but in person, again, just like everybody else, him being a man is no exception, like Stassi, Katie, and Lala, and, you know, all the women. He's a very beautiful man in person.
You were all over him.
I wasn't all over him, but
you're
I was
wow.
And you guys know that I'm not attracted to guys my own age or older, but he has a presence about him that is, and I'm not fanning over him, that's incredibly sexy and demanding. And he will look at you in your eye when he's talking to you.
Yeah.
And he will keep it real.
Yeah.
So I read him. Obviously, it worked. I was on his show, and he wanted me to read three different people on the show, and one of them was that kid Shane. Love Jeff Lewis to death, but Jeff really threw me under the fucking bus in the most funniest fucking way possible.
And he loves stirring the pot.
Who, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And so my girl Mercedes from Shaws of Sunset was there. I had met her at Ali Levine's baby shower and connected with her. I didn't even know who she was at Ali's show because I don't want, I mean, at Ali's baby shower, but because mm-hmm. I don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I hit it off with her. She, her son was like a, not a newborn, but he was still real little. And I got to hang out with her and talk shit. And I love her sense of humor. She's always a smile away from laughing. And I love fucking people like that because that's how I am. I just want to laugh and have a good time and like talk shit and get drunk and smoke weed. So she was there. And I was like, I feel a little bit more comfortable because she's here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And you met her before.
Yeah, I met her. I vibe with you. And then there was another woman there that was great. I had a really good time with her. We were talking shit. And then Shane was there and he was going to get read. And when we pulled up, and you know, I brought mimosas and some breakfast stuff there because it was early in the morning that we did the show. And Shane was gonna be read on that episode, and he was fumbling around so fucking nervous. And I finally had to stop and ask him. I was like, "Hey, I'm reading you today, right?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Are you nervous?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah." Like, he like was like, "No bullshit, not like a little bit." He was like, "Yeah." Like, his eyes were just like kind of like, "Please don't tell me anything that I don't want to hear." And I said, "You do realize that you can tell me to shut the fuck up. Just give me a look. I'm really good at catching those looks. Side-eye me if you don't want me to go there. But I'm not here to
like embarrass you
or ruin your fucking life."
Mm-hmm.
But he was in a relationship that, I don't know if he still is. I haven't listened to the show. I don't know what's going on with him. In a relationship that was kind of one-sided. And I saw a picture of the person, did not like the energy of the person. I think Shane is a good-looking guy. I think he's super sweet. He's got a big heart. And that's how I wanted to leave it. Here comes Jeff Lewis. Chris, no. The way that he looks, too, with those puckered lips and the intense eyes and the finger. No. Tell him what you told me. And I have to remember something. I'm being recorded. This is a live show. There are cameras there catching every fucking bit of facial expression. And you know me and my big-ass fucking Betty Davis eyes. I shot over there and I was like, "You motherfucker, you." And I looked at Shane and I gave him this look like,
"Sorry, kid."
Yeah. Dude is telling me to fucking go hard, so here it is.
You didn't even go that bad, like that hard.
But Jeff is somebody that I would do the same thing to. You fucking said it, put it out there.
Yeah.
He needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not his friend. You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's different. If I had that relationship with him, then I would have said, you know, been a little bit more jokey with it, but real at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience with Jeff Lewis, and his fans hit me up constantly. We want you back. We want you back.
I want you back on there.
I would love to do another episode with Jeff Lewis. I want to do something a little bit different where it's just maybe a little bit more of me and him.
Uh-huh.
And I want him to, I would love to answer any questions that he has, whether they're out of this world or straight up psychic
like,
questions.
Yeah, like the shit talking between you two, like afterwards was like hilarious. Like, I don't know why that wasn't part of the show, but it needs to next time.
I had a good time doing that show. He's a really good guy, and I thank him so much for the opportunity and the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got a large following. And again, the way that I get down with these people is, one could say, yeah, you know, your time is money, and you know you should consider your time valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you should never go on a show without getting paid for it. I agree with that. I'm all about, you know, what is the term now? Securing that bag, right? God. But at the same time, opportunities are not just all about money sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's connecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And putting yourself out there. Yeah. And the way social media is nowadays with, you know, everyone's looking at followers. And let me tell you something. It's a huge fucking pain in the ass. Because at the end of the day, what does that matter? Especially with what I do. But I have to play the game. And even though I'm only at a measly 8,000, how many fucking people are out there that know 8,000 fucking people? I don't know them personally, but
8,000 is a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. And some people, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about social media the whole time, but you know, there's people that reach out for readings that don't follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they either don't have social media or they don't play that fucking game. But I am, again, I'm going to say this for the millionth time, I am completely backlogged with sessions. As far as like, you know, I used to put it out there, you know, hit me up for a follow-up, whatever. There's no charge for those follow-ups. Mm-hmm. I just want, you know, let's just check in real fast.
You don't have time. Yeah.
I can't. I'm sorry, you guys, for those that, you know, are reaching out for follow-ups. I can't do it right now. I am so backlogged with new sessions. When I say backlogged, incredibly backlogged. And then not to mention having to do other things, projects, podcasts, not just my own, but, you know, being making appearances. Mm-hmm. And also having to read. I mean, this is my life here, and I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I'm Barbie, but I'm constantly reading celebrities, going and having lunches, going to their houses, doing cleansings, things like that there. So there's not enough hours in the day for me to do what I need to be doing. So I'm grateful.
It's a blessing for sure.
It is a blessing for sure. So those are some of the biggest questions that I got when it came to people that I've got to work with. One last one before I jump into the spiritual stuff. I know I said that a second ago, but I have to put this out there. Violet Benson, who is an influencer, a mogul, very, very unique woman, Scorpio Aquarius. I had the pleasure of doing her podcast in her beautiful home. Gorgeous fucking home. I was so fucking jealous when I walked in there. Not jealous, but kind of like, God damn, what I would do to this place, right? Mm-hmm. And she is very down to earth. It's just a girl that I can kick it with and not get bored. Have drinks, smoke some weed, laugh our asses off, have a good time, go on the hunt for dick and not think anything of it. Did her podcast, had a really good time. We, you know, connected. And then she hit me up a couple weeks afterward because she was having a merchandise release party. She has her own pod, you know, obviously her own podcast with merch.
Her own brand.
Her own brand, right? And so she was having a slumber party with a bunch of other influencer girls. And they wanted me to be the guest psychic for the night. Mm-hmm. I said, absolutely. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. She had my room set up. I posted on Instagram all these great lights. I had my candles, my tarot cards. And you guys have asked me, because I posted out there, what was it like to read Demi Lovato? Because she was a major guest there. I mean, she was the one that I really knew, obviously. But when you tell me influencer, unless it's like, I'm not throwing shade, unless it's like a Violet Benson or like a Gabby Epstein or a couple other girls that I know out there, it's not that I don't pay attention to it. I just don't know.
You don't know who they are.
I don't know who you are mm-hmm. and what it is that you do and what you're influencing. And that's not shade. I know these girls because of their personalities and like the shit they fucking talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't remember this because it happened in a blink of an eye. But that was my first encounter with Demi Lovato. I had did her Unidentified with Demi Lovato on Peacock, right? Mm-hmm. That's an alien show. I had did it maybe summer or spring of last year.
It was in the summer because it was hot.
Hot as fuck. They recorded it in Old Church in Canoga Park. And I had to show up there. I was picked by her people. They called me up, asked if I would show up, gave me the call time. And let me know how this was going to work. And there was like at least 9 or 10 other people that were alien abductees, right? That's what you were going on the show for, to talk mm-hmm. about your experience. And so I've talked about mine, which isn't too far out there. I had the one that read me psychically, the alien,
mm-hmm.
that I could hear and banter back and forth with, right? 9 foot tall in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Those little orbs that came out and a couple of other things. But some of these people that were there were talking like crazy shit about being abducted and taken up to the ship and having to mother and foster alien half-breed kids, you know, breed it between human and alien, or being implanted with stuff in all this crazy stuff. And I was like, my story is nowhere near as like
far exciting.
Out. Yeah. And you know, it's a long day. I mean, it's not as glamorous as everybody thinks it is. It's like, you know, 6 to 8 hours of work. And in the summertime, it was fucking hot. And I kept thinking, fuck, I'm not going to get picked to do this because it's just, it is what it is. I mean, some of these stories, I mean, are whether you believe them or not, it's a mm-hmm. different story, but they're far out there.
Yeah.
And so we got interviewed and it was like a group-like setting. They had this like alien expert, UFO expert come in, and it was like almost like a mini counseling session, like AA for UFO abductees. For aliens,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was in a church. So we're all talking about it. We're all bantering back and forth and they're recording it. And we're, you know, talking to the woman that's conducting everything. And they were like, okay, here it comes, guys. Demi is going to walk in with her entourage, and we're just going to keep going like we're in group and be surprised that she's here. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but the people that were there were a little bit, I mean, if they were my age, they would look older,
mm-hmm.
but they were older. I think I was the youngest person there, and that says a lot because I'm not young. And so I felt like, and this is just me, I felt like she deserved a little bit more of an entrance rather than, I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, I get what you're saying and I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, but to sit there and kind of just be blasé about Demi Lovato walking in didn't sit well with me. I was like, I feel like I need to do something. And you guys have to realize I am not an actor. I am not a model. I don't do television. I don't do scripted stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's just not who I am. So the doors, and remember, it's an old church, so they got these big double wooden doors. And she walks in with her sister and like this other guy, like her friend or whatever, right? I just gotten back from Joshua Tree, they were alien hunting or some shit. And so she walks in and it's loud as fuck when she walks in. And everybody's just kind of like looking down. And I was like, no, I'm not going to look down. So when she walked in, like a fucking queer gay pig that I am, I like made my eyes really big and I was like, and I put my hands together and I just felt like that was an appropriate reaction to give to Demi Lovato as she walked into a room.
You're like, wow, it's Demi.
Yeah.
Like,
and after I got done thinking about it, I had called Christina up because Christina was like, call me as soon as you're done to let me know how it was or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And so I called Christina. I told her what she did and she was like, do they have that on camera? And I was like, God, I hope not. But
But it was that's what I felt needed to be done. So that was my first experience with Demi Lovato. And then fast forward to Violet Benson's, where I'm reading her face to face. She's been through it. That's all I'm going to say. She was very respectful, polite, very engaging, very warm to me, hugged me, thanked me. But she's got layers upon layers of stuff to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put it out there, and it's no disrespect to her or Britney Spears. And I hope people don't think I'm being disrespectful to Britney Spears when I've said a couple things about her. But she has that Britney vibe.
They've been and seen some shit.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave it at that. But she's a good girl. And I had a good time kicking it with her and talking with her and going back and forth. Just want to shout out Violet Benson and her crazy ass for the opportunity. That's it. A good majority of the questions that you guys asked, I mean, those are the big ones. I got a couple other ones that I'm going to wait for another show to do. I don't want to give everything all away at one time, but that's what I've been up to. And you guys have seen me on E! Daily and Nightly Pop. Had a really, really good connection with Liliana Vasquez from Daily Pop. That's my girl. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. I had lunch with her not too long ago, and I'm all about making those connections, but in also making connections with people that I really vibe with.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, gay as fuck, but that's the best part of doing what I'm doing.
Is building that genuine connection with people.
Yeah, because again, you're going in as a professional, but then there's times where the professional lines get blurred a little bit because you can't help it. It's human nature to like certain people.
Yeah.
And I just had a really good time with it. I've been blessed. Again, doing what I'm doing here, COVID did not slow us down. I got interviewed by Yahoo and Forbes, and they were asking, what is COVID like for a psychic? And I wanted to giggle because I was like, I mean, without being disrespectful, fucking badass.
You were booked.
Booked.
Yeah.
Booked. I had some major, if you guys knew the meetings that I was in and some of the people that I've spoken to, you guys would have shitted your asses out right then and there. And I cannot geek out with these people. I have to keep it fucking real. But I'm gonna throw a little bit of shade here, but it's incredibly frustrating to be escorted out as a show horse. And I'm used to it because I have a different skill set, right? I have an ability that most people don't have, and they want to see how this works because they've been read by those $25 palm readers and fake shit, right?
Yeah.
You get to reading some of these, you know, high-end people. You give them their reading. You send them on their way. They take everything that you said into consideration, and they start the evolution process, which is great and it's fine and it's dandy, but they leave their positions for bigger and fucking better.
You're like, thanks.
And one could say, well, why didn't they bring you along? How are they going to bring somebody along that they just when they just got into a new position?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's coming, but that's been the story of my life, is that these people grow and excel and evolve. And they get on with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to understand something. They were looking for that reading. And I have to read them the way that I'm supposed to read them. I can't be like manipulative and be like, I'm only going to give you a little bit of a taste. And then we're going to take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I do. And it's been a blessing. And it's been kind of a little bit of a pain in the ass. Because, again, they excel and they grow. And I don't want to hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of waving that flag like, hey.
Help me out here.
Yeah, remember me.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. There's been a lot of changes in business for us. We had to trim the fat. And reorganize things. And that was based on not just what I wanted to do. Here goes the spiritual stuff. We're going to jump right into it.
Yeah.
Lessons. And when I tell you guys that my guides have been really hands-on, I have a completely different relationship with them. And what I mean by that is that I am more engaging with them and I can hear them. It's not that I didn't hear them loud and clear before, but their relationship has evolved in a way to where I'm talking out loud to them. And you've caught me a couple times saying shit out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the evolution process, right? So as we're going through all the changes with, you know, COVID in 2021, 2021 was a very interesting year. It was not a bad year, but it was a year of clarity and a year of insight and a year of, again, trimming the fat and taking the next step. And so it came time to get rid of some energy. And I had held on to this energy because I felt a little bit responsible for it and felt like that's what I needed at that time, that I couldn't let it go, that it was within my favor. And my guides came in and said, this has to go. You can no longer bring this energy around with you moving forward. It's time. And again, when I tell you evolution between me and my guides, here's the conversation with them. This is me responding back saying, I don't know when the last time you were on this planet or when, if and when you were truly alive, but it works differently here in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And my guide said, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You think it does. You have made yourself believe that you need this energy around you. We are telling you, you can't bring it with you moving forward. And you're going to see. And you know what's going to happen if you don't listen. And I said, I understand. I'm not fighting you. Again, this is all going on in my head. When we have this meeting, if the energies are not up to par, then I will do it. And I'm not fighting with you. I know I have to do it sometime, but I just want one confirmation. Picked up the phone, got ready for that meeting, and it was shitty.
And that's when you knew.
And that's when I knew. And that's when I ended it right there. I had to. And when they tell me that it's time, I don't give a fuck what anybody else has to say, what they think about it, if they think it's crazy. But this is my life and this is how it works. And I know what happens when I go against the grain. It's not pretty and I'm not being dramatic about it. It's just, it is what it is. And I knew that I had to jump and change all that. So as we're getting to the spiritual stuff, I want to talk about intention versus the shit that comes out of your mouth. I definitely practice what I preach, but I'm also very confident and very determined to succeed. But I also have that human side of me too, which is afraid and nervous at times. Mm-hmm. I don't like fucking change.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly scary for me. And I did a lot of thinking about that too during this year and a half that I was off. Why am I really afraid of change? It's not because I have to learn a new routine. It's not that I have to get acclimated or adjusted to the new situation. It's just, I'm very much a hoarder on what I feel comfortable doing. Not a hoarder in the house, like collecting weird shit or boxes, you know, newspapers piled up, whatever. But I'm very sentimental in what I have because it's mine. And I got to thinking, my guides were like, the reason why you are the way that you are is because you never knew what comfortable was like. You were always being shifted and dragged along that anytime that you got comfortable with something, it was time to leave it or move it. And I was like, that's fucking right. And they started showing, there's so much more to it, but they showed me bouncing around from my great grandmothers to my grandma, to my mom, my dad, different family members, kind of feeling like I didn't fit in, having this ability and seeing things for what they are and kind of feeling like I was a little bit of a downer with everybody else because I didn't want to go along with the insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of put me as the black sheep. And so everything as I have as an adult, because I work so hard for it, blood, sweat, and tears with what I do. Even when I was working in the insurance industry, I did what I did. I showed up and I fucking worked and I earned my fucking money. So anything that I have, apartment, home, my couch, my bed or whatever, that is mine. So in 2017, before I moved back to LA from Oregon, I got that message. It's time to go back to LA. You had said it.
Yeah.
Let's go. It's time. You can't do this anymore. It's going to be incredibly expensive to fly back and forth. This is where you need to be, right?
Yeah.
They told me, I had said, okay, I'm moving back to LA, but I don't have a good feeling about this, right? They had said, we're going to take everything away from you temporarily, but you're going to get it back in a different way, and you would have learned to appreciate it more. They took everything away. Every single fucking thing that I could use as an excuse to keep me from hustling and doing what I need to be doing. And it took me a hot minute to realize that it's all gone and that it's okay and to chill the fuck out. As I'm going through everything that I'm going through, you know, over the last year and a half and listening to my guides and making the changes that I need to make and, you know, whether they're uncomfortable or whatever the case may be, participating and being cooperative with my guides and doing the work that I needed to do, I was told that you're going to be rewarded for this. And I know that sounds hokey again, but I believe it. And so I, you know, put the work in, got, you know, made those necessary changes with business. I got rewarded with more opportunity, more money, great, you know, great things happening, being told that I was taken care of. And then moving forward was more spiritual stuff, but this was in the form of supernatural, more like possession, more like demonic stuff. And I'm going to just touch on this briefly because I don't feel comfortable sharing somebody else's, you know, hardcore business here, but your dad suffered a stroke summer of 2021. There was a lot of energy going in and out between him and the universe in 2021 that I picked up all this crazy stuff and had picked up on a heart condition before it was revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And then also got the hit of something bad is going to happen and to be on the lookout for it when it came to your dad's health. It was just little things that were coming up that I was like,
you were saying it like months before it happened.
Yeah. And so to make a long story short, we started noticing that your dad was getting sick and there was something wrong with him. So I tried helping him up from the couch to get back onto to the kitchen table. And when I did that, he's a large man, not heavy as in weight, but like he's tall and he's older and he's kind of solid, right? He's a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to pick him up from behind, put my arms under his armpits and lift him up that way. And the minute that I did that, I had felt this energy coming out of him and trying to get into me. It was so hard that it pushed me back a couple of times. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And so I had to remember that I didn't want to drop him and to put him in the chair and set him down. But after I sat him down in the chair, I know it's going to sound gross and I'm going to probably gag. So excuse me for this, but I had the horrible smell of shit in my nose afterward. And what I mean by shit, this isn't like your uncle, you know, your fat uncle taking a fucking deuce in the bathroom and stinking up the house. Shit. No, I wish it was that mild. And that's saying a lot. This smelled like shit that had been around for like years.
And you were the only one that smelled it too.
I smelled it and I thought, I had you check my clothes. I had you check all over me. I was like, did I step in shit? Or, you know, your dad just went to the bathroom. Maybe he had shit on him or whatever. Is it on me? Couldn't find anything. Went and took a fucking shower, like scrubbed the shit out of myself. Hot water. Washed everything. Every nook and cranny of my body. Got out of the shower and still smelled shit. And I was like, we have to get out of the house and go do errands. I have to get my mind off of this. A lot's going on here. And to kind of go back a little bit to that energy. When I felt that energy coming through between me and him, I left the most important piece out. I had asked my guides, what the fuck was that? And remember something, I can do three things all at one time and still be present. Picking him up, talking to my guides, and also feeling your dad's energy. And when I asked what it was, and I don't know if you guys remember this, and maybe some of you do, and I don't know if it's a battery. It's like, I think it's Delco brand. I don't know. Forgive me for this. I don't know. But remember that it's a battery or some sort of car tool where it looks like a black cat, but it's like drawn like electricity.
Uh-huh.
Like it looks frayed like electricity, but it's in the form of a cat. That's what it looks like. And it's black. This thing that I saw was very similar to that, but it was not a cat. Didn't have cat ears, but it had that electricity
that
look
static.
To it. That static look uh-huh. to it, but it was completely brown. Like a deep color brown, and the eyes were drawn in very dark and squinty, and the mouth was black, but it was like, looked like cartoon drawing, mm-hmm. like it was shaded in black. And I was like, oh, it's not the devil, but it's a very mischievous, like demonic type of energy
mm-hmm.
that tried to get from him to me. And I was like, that's a fucking attachment. And it reminded me of that crazy girl
yeah.
that I read through my friend,
mm-hmm.
where I saw that attachment come from behind her back, and then I saw the big yellow moon, but this was just that energy. And it tried to get inside of me. I know it sounds crazy, but it did. And my guides would not let it happen. And so we went to go do errands, and I could not shake that feeling. We went to go eat. I couldn't even eat because I kept smelling shit. And then I said, fine, fuck it. I'm going to call my dad. My go-to. And I was like, Dad, I got to talk to you about something. I need your full attention. He's like, yeah, got it. What's up? And I was like, I told him what was going on with your dad and what had happened. And he said, and my dad just thought for a second. He was like, he's having a stroke. And I was like, what?
Duh, yeah.
I've been in the medical field for like 20 plus years. I have my medical assistant 1 and 2, medical secretary, you know, all this stuff. I went pretty far with it, as far as you can get without becoming a nurse, because I didn't want to draw blood. I didn't even think of that because I was so psychic.
We were way too close to see from the like
and
outside.
And stress the fuck yeah. out. Like, what the fuck is going on here? So we fucking, I was like, I felt bad. So I was like, oh, dad, I have to go. I said, I'll call you back later. Hauled fucking ass all the way back to Simi Valley. We were in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
20-minute drive because of traffic. Get over there. Your dad declined horribly.
Within
that time that we were yeah. gone. We were gone for less than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And if we had not came back or not call my dad, I don't think that he would be here today.
Even the doctors, the surgeons were amazed like
yes.
at how close he was.
And for those of you guys asking how he is, 100% full fucking recovery. No side effects. No, I mean, and considering he's older.
Yeah.
Nothing. Able to play tennis and do what he normally does. That was a big lesson for me because I did not want to intervene. When a man tells you they don't need help, right? Or they don't want your help, you respect it. And you kind of like, okay, well, if you need me, call me, right? Mm-hmm. Let me know. I had told that to my guides. I was like, he says no, like, don't help him up. Like, he's got this. My guide said, you better, and I know you guys are going to think I'm fucking lying. You better get your fucking ass over there and make more of an effort. And I jumped over, that's what prompted me to jump over the chair and grab him up. Yeah. And just a lot of that was going on. And we got a lot of passerbys during that time. We had that knock on the wall. And when I say, remember the knock on the wall, it was not from the outside, but from the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting there watching TV, and the wall, it sounded like somebody punched the wall from inside where we were sitting at. Like something was in the room with us and just punched the wall right there.
In the corner in the second story.
In the second story, yeah. It was shit like that was going on. We had a lot of, I kept seeing after, because again, I know it's not my responsibility to watch over your dad, but I made it a point to go down there, you know, when, you know, going outside to smoke weed or whatever and kind of like checking to see how he's doing or whatever. And he had fallen asleep and I had saw that entity over him, just mm-hmm. staring at him. And that's when I did the clearing for the house. I was like, I need to clear this energy here. And when I talk about exorcism, I'm a believer in it. Do I think everybody can do it? No. I don't mess with it. The only time I mess with it, the last time that I really, really did a hardcore exorcism, if you will, was during the time I was doing Santeria and all that crazy shit was going on. But I exorcised whatever was in the house out. Got rid of that fucking energy. It was just crazy.
It was very intense. It was just an intense time, and you feel certain things, but like, because I'm used to that energy there, it just, I don't pick it up as acutely as you did.
It was too much. It was too much to the point to where I wasn't sleeping. I hardly sleep as it is, but being touched on a daily basis, having people whisper stuff into your ear, it just became too loud. And that's the medium side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, and I know I'm notorious for saying I don't like doing medium readings, and it's not because I don't like it. I'm going to clear that up yet again. I feel like, excuse me, I feel like I'm like the person's being taken advantage of.
Like the medium or the other person?
The other person, because when you're giving a medium reading, I feel like sometimes mediums capitalize off the death of other people. You know what I'm saying? And that's how they conduct their readings and things like that. And I don't ever want to do that. But I, for whatever reason, during this time frame, I had a lot more medium readings. And all the energy and all the spirits that were coming into the house, and there was some negative ones too. I did a couple of people that were murdered and things like that. And the energy that would come into the house was stuff that I kind of shifted a little bit when it comes to my feelings on that. And now I start gagging. Like when the energy's so strong, and for those of you that I've given readings to on the phone and that have heard me gag, you motherfuckers know it's real. And you guys are always, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm so fucking sorry it's a lot of fucking energy. They want to say a lot. And then you get the ones where on top of all that, all like the stuff that, and I hate that word triggers, but it triggers those memories because you're relating to people and talking to people about things that you have gone through and things that you've witnessed and seen and making those connections again and feeling sentimental. And I got to put it out there again. Along with the gagging stuff, I've been crying in sessions. I know that sounds so fucking weird, but you can feel the strength of that person and knowing that they're just, and I've said this a lot recently too, your progression, your evolution is literally right around the fucking corner. If I was a better friend to you or I've known you longer, I would be kicking your ass over and telling you, get over there. And a lot of people are like, but I just want to, I know you want to know because you have been going through this so much that as soon as you feel like something good happens, something else comes in and knocks you off. I know that feeling. I know it. And it resonated with me so much during that time frame there that I felt very connected to my clients. And that's why I shared a lot of what's going on over the last year and a half with them.
During your sessions.
Because during that time, again, I always tell my clients, I'm not just fucking reading you. I'm not just sitting there wanting your fucking money and being like, let me just tell you what you want to hear. I'm learning, too. You are teaching me things about myself or situations that I need to see. And it was very much like that throughout 2021 and even into 2022, which I'm going to get to right now. So, more heavy duty shit. My birthday was April 25th. It's always April 25th.
But are you sure?
I know. I normally don't do it because I'm been worried about money, right? And I haven't had to worry. This is not coming from ego, but I've been incredibly blessed financially. I'm good. We're good. And so you have to, you know, push me to do something, you know, like
all the time.
Go spend some money on yourself. Go do this or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so for my birthday week, I said, fuck it. We're going to spoil the shit out of ourselves. And you normally don't like to get massages or whatever. You're kind of like, I don't like anybody touching me. And I was like, we're going to go get massages. We're going to get facials. And we're going to go eat really well. And we're going to go buy some new clothes. It's time. Let's go have a good time. I wanted to go away for 2 weeks, but something kept me back and was like, no, just go have a good time for this week. Go and do all that great stuff. It's fun. I decided to reach out to one of my old astrologer friends that I've known for fucking years. And we are very similar in our sessions as far as like giving people insight further down the road than they thought we were going to give them. So a couple years, people tell me that I've given them 5 years of therapy within 1.5 hour of stuff. And she's like that too. I don't go to her every year, maybe every couple years, or because she gives me a lot to think about and to work with. And this is all futuristic stuff. So she knows how I work, and I've told you guys this before, the way that I get readings, and I don't get readings from people here at all, hardly ever. But before I get into it, I want to shout out Eric and Paula from Honestly Delusional Podcast. Paula had hit me up and was like, during the April stuff, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good. Why? And she was like, there's a lot of energy going on, like, you know, with especially with your sign and all that stuff. You know, we're going through the eclipse in Taurus and Scorpio. We got the full moon and the new moon all this month or whatever, and it's going to be pretty hardcore. Kind of get some rest, giving me a heads up. So I was like, fuck, okay, or whatever, and was like, thank you or whatever for giving the heads up. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to reach out for the session. Called my girl up, and she goes, I know how you work, because I've been doing this with you for a long time. She goes, you always want the lemon so you can make lemonade right up front. But Chris, those lemons are sour. They are bitter. They are rotten. They're not fully developed. You can't even make a glass of shit with it. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, it is. I advise you to take all of May off. And I was like, slow down in my head to me, not to her. But I was like, relax. Don't panic. Just chill the fuck out. What do you mean by that? And she said, you're going to be going through it. You're going through an evolution. You're going through a shift right now. And it's going to require your full attention. And I advise you not to work. And if you're going to do readings, maybe do 2 or 3 a week. And that is it. Not 2 or 3 a day like you're used to, but 2 or 3 a week. And that's it. I wouldn't advise to go anywhere and do any major appearances. Nothing. Chill the fuck out this month. You can't tell somebody like me that.
No, you can't.
You can't. And so I said, okay. I said, so can you give me a little bit of a hint of what's going on? And she said, all I can tell you is that just know that you got this. Bottom line. Go fuck. No sooner did she say that, maybe like 3 or 4 days afterward.
You're on like panic mode.
Yeah. I started to feel my guides coming through and tapping the mic and saying, we're going to be talking to you soon. And I was like, oh, fuck, 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 fuck. I felt this shift and I was like, something's going to change here. And I feel like this has to do with our living situation. It's a lot of drama. A lot of drama going on at that time. A lot of realizations and truth coming into play. And it was time to kick rocks. I'd gotten too comfortable with where we were at.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the next step.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be done here. If not now, when?
Yeah.
And so I put the pressure on myself, like I did with this podcast, saying I'm going to drop it on Thursday and then scrambling around to get it out. I said things out loud. For whatever reason, I was just called to do it. And put it out there that we're moving out and that this will be the last month that we're here. It's time for us to go. I got fucking nervous after I said that. And after I had calmed down and started to relax, I had asked my guides, what did I just fucking do? Please tell me this is something that has to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Chill out. I had to go look for a place, right? I had told you this happened like on a Friday. I had said, okay, by Monday, I want a list of places to go see. And you have to hold me accountable because I'm going to get lazy. I'm going to get bitchy. I'm going to start to cry because I don't like change. And I don't like having to do this shit. I don't want to go fucking do this. It gives me PTSD from all the times that we had to move
mm-hmm.
fast. The owner of the home sold the fucking house. They sold it twice on us. We ended up having to move back. All this other fucking bullshit. And it's like clockwork. For whatever reason, we always move either June or July.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I was worried about that. And I was like, who the fuck does this in the middle of the month to move in, start brand new at the beginning of the next month? It's just, you don't do that shit. You just kind of chill out and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking nervous, anxiety ridden, sick to my fucking stomach. Like, I was like, so fucking bad, right? Shaking, just gagging left and right. I could not. I mean, gagging was like the biggest thing for me. I was like coughing and gagging the whole fucking time. Jay ended up getting everything together as far as like looking for places. And I said, okay, let's get in the car. And when I got in the car, I felt panicked again. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go talk to these people and, you know, sell myself again and have to, you know, negotiate this stuff here and go through all this red tape because, you know that everyone's asking, which bugs the fuck out of me. You need to make 3 times the amount of rent in order to rent this place, right?
In LA.
In LA. For a 2-bedroom apartment, you're not going to find anything for less than $2,500. And if you do, you're probably not going to want to live there. So we're driving to go do all this stuff. And again, I lost my shit. I was like, I put this out there. And I know you guys are going to probably think this is being dramatic here, but I want you to just hear me out on this. Because I am who I am and I work the way that I work, I had told my guides, I need you to do me a favor and I need you to take over. I do not have the strength, the mental, the drive to fucking do this. Just take over. Show me where you want me to go. Tell me who I need to talk to and I'll do it. But you need to drag me. When I said that, I literally felt a shift. You know when you go to the eye doctor and they, you know, they put those the lenses on you and like, can you see this clear or is this clear? Blah, blah. That's immediately what I felt. When that shift took place was a change in vision. And I felt myself being a third party. I felt, even though Jay was sitting in the passenger seat and we're on the 118 getting ready to go into the valley, I felt like I was in the passenger seat watching me drive, watching me think, getting all my messages, looking at the road, also being a third party, talking to these landlords, negotiating stuff, being present, doing all that stuff. I was looking at it as a third party. That's how I looked at it. And how, for whatever reason, we started that journey on a Monday. 2 days later, that Wednesday, we found a place. And when we talk about manifestation, on that Wednesday, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was tired. I had put 3 good days of effort. You guys are probably thinking, fuck, it takes a lot more than that, Chris. You have to remember something. I'm still doing readings and I'm still doing meetings during this time. On top of having to get my ass in the car and do all this stuff, we finally thought we found a place in Woodland Hills. Wasn't the greatest place. The townhome was cute. But the area was shit.
Yeah, the neighborhood wasn't that nice.
We usually go walking at night and, like, you know, get exercise that way and do all that stuff. There was no way to do that. There was a bunch of homeless people there. And I know it's difficult nowadays, but it just was too much. And so I was like, fuck it, we'll just take it and we'll settle. And so the guy was like, okay, great, come to the office, but you need to come in an hour because we're having a party, right? Somebody's birthday and we're closing shop for an hour. Mm-hmm. So be there by 1. I was like, fine. So I told you, I don't want to be dicking around. I'm definitely too nauseous to eat and I don't want to smoke any weed. So let's just go look at the last place that we were going to look at. Let's call him. Earlier that morning, Jay and I were in the car and I was like, fuck, I just wish it was as easy as it was when we met Mr. Bailey. Mr. Bailey was my old landlord prior to moving to Oregon when I still lived in Simi Valley with the kids. The way that we got that place was just random. I was living in an apartment. It was, you know, getting to be a little bit too small. And I had said, let's go look for something just for rent signs. Just drive around or whatever. We'll smoke some weed and just drive around, right? We pulled up to Mr. Bailey's house. There was a for rent sign there. Looked in, noticed it was a 3-bedroom. Called the number. Met him the next day. He is so old school. I definitely had to sign a lease and all that stuff. But the red tape of having to prove all that, you know, you make 3 times the amount.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 all this other shit there. He was just like, I got a good vibe. He met my daughter. Loved her. Was like, you know, what room do you want? And she told him, he was like, that's yours. And I was thinking, don't tell her that because she's going to be heartbroken if we don't get
it. Yeah, get disappointed.
And he had said afterward, I looked at him, he said, okay, when do you want to pay for everything? You can move in this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, fucking simple. I said, we need a Mr. Bailey. So the last call that we made on that Wednesday, The guy picked up the phone, and I said, well, we want to come take a look at it or whatever. Is it still available? He's like, yeah. He's all, but I have somebody here looking at it, and I feel like it'd be tacky to have you show up at the same time that they're here. And I started laughing because he had said tacky, and I was like, God, he's got a really good sense of humor. And I was like, we'll just go see it or whatever. Fuck it. Who cares? Went to go see it, pulled up. He was just what I expected him to be in person. Very down to earth, very funny. Walked into the house, saw it, fell in love with it. It's a 2-bedroom house with 1 bath and all brand new appliances, hardwood floors, big fucking yard. A yard so big in the back that I can put lawn furniture.
That you're never going to use.
But it's aesthetics. It's aesthetics. You know, lights out there, even a fucking fire pit if I wanted to, and a barbecue, and still have room to fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. I was like, I want this. And he's like, you want it? I said, yeah. Just like Mr. Bailey.
He's like, it's yours.
It's yours. And I was like, don't fuck with me. No. It's yours. I have a good feeling about you guys. And I said, I have a fucking good feeling about you. And Jay and I have our own place now. Our own 2-bedroom house. Our own space. We're finally getting back. Not what we had before, but
we're building again.
That peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back to the spiritual side of things, after that was all said and done, I got nervous because now it became time to go get the deposit and the money and all that stuff, right? And I had already signed that fucking lease and I was fucking flipping out. I said, wait a minute. This is happening way too fast. This is not normal. What's the catch here? I was like, did I fuck up? And I pulled over and I had asked you, I need you to tell me whether or not I'm rushing into it. Do you think this is a good idea or not? And don't do the Libra moon thing and just tell me what I want to hear or be in the fucking middle. Tell me if I fucked up or I'm being desperate. He's like, no, it's exactly what we asked for.
Yeah.
What we put out there, it came true. And he's like, I know what you mean. It's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, considering everything that's gone on, I'm fucking hesitant. And it was during a Mercury retrograde on top of those fucking eclipses. Got the money, went to go pay the deposit, got the keys in hand, was able to move in by Friday, moved everything in by the weekend, had a major event to do with Gabby Epstein on that following Monday, woke up that Monday after everything was said and done and was exhausted, like extremely, extremely exhausted. I had allergies from moving, from the dust and all that stuff, had a slight little cough there because of I thought it was the allergies, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe my immune system is compromised because of all the stress and anxiety that we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally feeling it now. No. It's knocked on my ass for a little bit. Come to find out, we have COVID. And I was really hesitant on telling Jay. People asked, did you get tested? No. Didn't fucking get tested. I fucking know my body. And this was not a flu. This was not a cold. This was not just allergies. And I'm not making light of COVID because people have died from that shit. And I've had it really bad, but it was not affecting my lungs. But I did lose my sense of taste and smell. And I hid that from you because I was like, oh my God, it's the last thing he needs to fucking hear. But we went to go eat at Johnny Pacific's. And Johnny Pacific's is like this kind of like island fusion, like barbecue type shit. And they have kebabs, like little salad and fries and stuff. And I was wondering why Jay wasn't eating the salad dressing for his salad. It was like this vinaigrette, balsamic vinaigrette, like creamy type of shit or whatever. And I had remembered it because we ate it last time, and I was like, I think I liked it or whatever, so I was putting it all over everything. I put out my salad, I dipped my kebab in it, was dipping my fries in it, and I noticed
your food was drenched in it.
Yeah, and I was like, you don't like it? And he was like, no, it's too vinegary, it tastes too tangy or whatever, and I was like, huh. I was like, well, I love it, and he was like, you were like, well, if you like it, fucking eat it, right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, or whatever, and then I didn't want to say anything, so I was like, the next day, I was like, let's go have Greek food. And you're like, you want to have Greek food? Because I've had bad experiences with it. Because I go through these spouts of like eating certain things repeatedly and then getting sick of it. Or, you know, I come to find there's a spice that I don't fuck with. And it causes me, I know it's gross, but to over salivate. Like my mouth is filled with
saliva.
I think
you just gross yourself out.
Yeah, it could be. It's like a psychological type of thing. So Greek food had done that to me. There's like a lot of oregano in it. There's a lot of herbs and spices and oils and shit. And I usually love all that. But one time it left a bad taste in my mouth and I made myself throw up. And so I was like, let me go try Greek food. Ate the fuck out of a falafel sandwich. And then they had fries with it, right? I couldn't fucking taste it. I was like, uh-oh. And then I had told you, I was like, I got to tell you something, and I don't want you to freak out, and I think we have COVID.
I was still able to taste and, like, smell everything. You were like, I couldn't for a couple of days, and I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. I was nervous. I was like, this is the last thing that we need to hear, because if I look at him and he panics, I'm going to panic, and I need you to be Jay right now and to fucking ground me and not fall in the fucking boat with me. Somebody's got to fucking stay grounded. And you were like, well, what makes you think that? And I was like, because I lost my sense of taste and smell, this extreme fatigue. I said, what we thought was allergies because we were so fucked up by moving, we thought it was dust, goes along with it. I said, and also, too, we have sensitivity to light. Mm-hmm. Like, it took a long time for my eyes to adjust to being bright outside.
Yeah.
And watching TV, even you with your computer.
Yeah.
It was fucking weird. And then I'm a horrible driver. Like, I'll admit it. But I trust my own driving. I was even getting car sick from my own driving and motion sickness. It's like being stoned, bending down, and then getting up real fast. You guys ever do that? You guys get stoned, bend down, and grab something, your fucking, your piece of shit, lazy ass boyfriend tells you, oh, can you go get a pan out of the fucking thing or whatever? And you bend down to get it, get a fucking head rush. That's what I felt like driving. That's what it felt like, at least to me. Did that feel like that to you?
I'm always getting like car sick or motion sickness. So, yeah, like, it's.
Sometimes I wonder about you. But, anyways. We ended up getting COVID. So I'm wrapping this all up, you guys, I promise. So that was all said and done, and I panicked again, and I started to get scared, and I was like, fuck, like, this is gnarly. Like, it's COVID for sure. I broke down, and not that Jay wasn't any help, but I needed something a little bit stronger. So I called good old Pops, and I don't usually cry to my dad. Maybe every other year I'll cry to him because I don't feel the need to cry to him. I can handle everything on my own.
I can cry on myself by myself.
Yeah, I can cry by myself. I have some dignity. But I called my dad and I was like, immediately when I heard his voice and he's like, what's up? Or whatever, I started crying. And I was like, Dad, I don't feel good. There's something wrong with me. And he was like, what's the matter? He's like, are you crying? And I was like, yeah, I just don't feel good. I need your help. And he was like, well, what's going on? I said, I have COVID. I said, I know it. And right away he gets scared. It ain't nothing but a fucking cold. Snap out of it. It's just a fucking cold. You can get over it. That's not it. What else is going on? There's something wrong with my spiritual side, like my ability. Like what? I don't know. I just feel different. I feel not off. I just don't feel like myself. And he shut the fuck up, right? Because the way that my dad works, he hears what I'm saying, but he plays a scenario out in his head. As you're talking, he's imagining what you're saying and putting the characters into play, the scenery, and mapping things out. That's how his ability works. At least to me, that's what I get from him. He had stopped and said, wait a minute, calm down. Stop crying. Catch your fucking breath. Chill out. I was like, okay. And he goes, did you do a spell? And I love him. And I was trying not to lose my shit. I was like, no, I didn't do a spell. Last fucking spell I did was back in the fucking day before even the kids. I don't do spells. What did you say? What did you say to your people? And when he says your people, because again, we don't say guides. And I know what he means. He means guys. What did you say to your people? You said something. And he started like getting a little bit like he was accusing me, but I know what his intention is.
Yeah. For you to
he wants me
think
to,
about
he wants to jog my fucking memory. Yeah. Like fucking wake up. Like you called me. Let's figure this out. And I was like, I can't think of anything. And then I asked my guides, what am I not seeing? And then I stopped. I was like, I know. And he's like, what? What the fuck? And I was like, when we were moving. And I've dumbed myself down like a little kid a little bit. And I was like, when we were moving, I was so stressed out and so nervous. I was, you know, gagging and, you know, I didn't want to be in a bad mood. And I knew that we had to get it done. I didn't have the strength to do it. And I was already feeling like the effects of the COVID stuff or whatever. And I attributed it to, you know, anxiety and stress. Like I was felt weak and just not in touch that I had told my guys to take over. And my dad was like, what do you mean take over? I specifically told him, I need you to take over. I will comply with everything that you ask me to do. You just need to drag me and take over. Get me to where I need to be and I'll do the work. But I can't do this right now by myself. And my dad said, when are you going to learn you are different? When are you going to learn that what you say isn't taken the way that everybody else takes it or says it? And I'm not saying that from like thinking I'm better or above everybody, but it's true. What I put out there is completely different. And I understand how that works. And my dad said, your people, not that they're enjoying it or being mischievous, but are have taken over like you asked them to.
You need to take your body back.
You need to get back into your body.
Mm-hmm.
You need to his words were, you need to realign yourself. And it's going to take you a couple of days to do it. But tonight, when you go to bed, you better get your ass in your room and do what you need to do and get back to your body. Before, and he said it, before you can't. And the first thing I fucking think about is Insidious.
Mm-hmm.
When that kid is like stuck dreaming in between. Uh-huh. But I was like, I'm very cognizant of what's going on. I know I'm here or whatever, but I did not feel the way that I normally felt. And again, I know it's dramatic, but I didn't. And so it took me about 2 or 3 days to snap the fuck out of it, to really realign myself. And when I say that, you have to understand something. And again, I hope this makes sense to you. I had to learn what it was like reintroducing myself to my body, the feelings, the emotions, all the energy that I spent moving, all the experience, everything that I wasn't hands-on with came flooding back into me. And it didn't cause anxiety. It was just like, okay, here's what happened when you were gone.
I don't even understand. I can't even process that feeling and the experience that you went through on that.
I did readings when I was in that stage. And I felt like, and again, this is just my mind thinking. For those of you that watched The Exorcist, remember when she's sitting there on the couch and the fucking psychiatrist goes before she grabs him by the balls and she has her hand up? It's like a hypnotic thing that they do or whatever. She has her hand up and she's sitting in the chair. That's what I felt like. That's what it reminded me of doing those readings. Like, you just say what we're telling you to say. And that's how it always is.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not feel present. I felt like I was just talking and almost like a recording. I don't know how else to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And those readings that I did during that time were mind-blowing as far as like the medium side of things. Because there was a woman, and I'm not going to say any names here, that reached out. It was like her father was deceased. And I said, I don't know. I said, I kept feeling that the person was there. And I was like, there's too many people in the room because I was a party in there. And my guides were there. The woman that I was talking to was there. It just seemed very crowded or whatever. And I had said, I feel your father. I said, but for whatever reason, I said, let me know if this is not him. I said, because there's too much energy going on. But he said, I'm on your left. And she fucking started crying and was like, oh my God. She had told her dad, I'll know it's you if you come to me on my left side.
Mm-hmm.
Started gagging immediately. Read another person who had a family member pass away. Same exact thing, where it was just like crying. It was hitting the nail on the head with, I mean, it just was a different type of vibe. The medium stuff was very, very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I realigned myself, I had to get back into that. And I cried. I mean, now that we have our own place, and you know what I'm notorious for doing, we have a living room all to ourselves with our own couch and like our own stuff there. I spend a good majority of the time in the living room watching TV,
mm-hmm.
laying on the couch. I'm a couch person. I get my blanket and I'll grab my pillow from my bed and lay on the couch and chill the fuck out. I broke down for those 3 days, crying my fucking brains out, reintroducing my feelings, my emotions, and my mental back into my body. And then feeling the effects of that COVID shit too, like the fatigue and like, you know, being wiped out and like having to start over again.
Yeah. It was tiring.
That was towards the end of May, right? Like it was May 28th, May 29th, around that time frame. And I said, okay, I'm going to start booking appointments again, hardcore, because I'm backlogged. And I'm going to start solidifying some of these things that we're doing in at the end of June, going into July. Is it okay? My foot started to hurt. When we had COVID and I was going through all that stress, I wear Vans, black Vans. You guys have seen it before. But I'm such a fucking queen that I step on the back so they kind of look like slides because I slide them
like
in.
Like slippers, yeah.
Like slippers. And so I was walking like a big dumb shit, like a big oaf throughout this whole time because I felt like on autopilot, like I wasn't just there. So I was walking in a way that just was like off. And so my foot started to hurt. And immediately what I got was like, you just got up. You just got back and now you want to start running again? I took that as you need to learn to crawl before you walk. Take it easy. As soon as June 1st hit, was able to do what I needed to do, feel okay doing it, and feel like myself again. But it was fucking difficult. And the reason why I'm talking about manifestation here is because I've been seeing a lot of people out there, especially like influencers, and there's no shade being thrown at them, but they're these titles that people are making up. Like, you know, I know Reiki is a big thing and it's been around for years, but to call yourself a master Reiki healer after taking a couple of lessons and being intrigued by somebody that you see off of YouTube doesn't make you a master. It makes you a follower. Same thing when people tell me they're a master manifester. Well, if that's the case, why are you on the phone with me? And I hope you realize when you call yourself a master manifester and you're spouting shit out of your fucking mouth, this is just a general statement here. Know that there's a difference between what it is that you're saying and what you want versus what the universe, God, Jesus, Allah, Little Kim know. Your true intention versus the shit coming out of your mouth. And so many people are talking about manifesting and doing the work and like I'm woke and, you know, all these blessings or whatever. That's all talk because your life reflects otherwise. And I'm not trying to shit on you, but somebody posted out there, you know, talking about, you know, they're getting up there in age, you know, and that they haven't had a relationship and, you know, it's been some time and I'm being hopeful, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And I've said this before, that's a fucking defense mechanism. You simply saying if it doesn't happen, it must be the universe's way of telling me. No. The universe is making things difficult to see if you really can function in a fucking relationship. To test whether or not you've gotten out of your miserable fucking way, changed your attitude so you can even appreciate what the fuck you have instead of ruining it. You're being tested. You don't get a free pass because you're positive and you're upbeat and you're a good person. That doesn't exclude you from lessons. And when you're out there saying that if it doesn't happen, that's a defense mechanism. And the universe truly knows what you will do if you're given that opportunity. You're going to shit all over it. So when you're telling me or you're putting it out there that this is what you want, and the minute that your guides come in or that piece of shit devil gets on your shoulders to try to talk you out of it or use your insecurities and fears against you and you ball up, And you break down and you stop doing it and you just give up. How bad do you really want it? Because I can tell you right now, instead of manifesting love, you ought to manifest a new attitude and a new way of looking at things. Because the reason why you don't have it, and let's just say even if you do have it and you're getting these opportunities, it's one thing to get an opportunity from the universe than it is getting an opportunity from somebody that you're piggybacking off of. You're not doing anything different than the person before you is doing. You can call it an opportunity, but it's a temporary opportunity. Do you want something temporary or do you want something long-lasting? Because your energy and your attitude and your will is temporary right now. So that's why it's not working out for you. And during this time, I'm not saying that I'm better than you or that I'm above anything, but I wanted to give up during May. I left a lot of good shit out of there. It was so easy for me to be like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. Stay in my fucking zone. And Jay, you fucking know. You know how easy it is for me to say, no, I'm not doing this. And be stubborn and indignant and stick my fucking heels and my hooves into the ground and say, I'm not doing it. I give up.
Yeah. It was a hard time for you.
You had no other choice. I had no other choice. And I put the fucking work in. And I'm going to always say go back to what I said on Instagram where I had said, it was a story that I put out. You put the time, effort, and work into it. We'll take it from here. Sincerely, your guides. Evolving into what I needed to evolve into and getting out of my comfort zone and getting my lazy ass up and doing the work and being dragged and having to do all that stuff. One could say, well, you know, you're a psychic. Your guides did that for you. You can do it too. If you don't have strength to do it, you can put it out there. I need help. But you don't give up. You don't pick up your marbles and go home because you don't get what you want. That's why all this rebranding is going on. You got people changing podcast after podcast with different fucking names, but it's still the same fucking person. Nothing has evolved other than the name. Truly put the time, work, and effort in. Take yourself seriously. No psychic is going to come in here and do the work for you. When I talked about my astrologer putting myself in there, I've been known and told that I give 5 years worth of therapy in a half hour's worth of time. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. What you're looking for is somebody to come in there and say, you deserve it.
it's fucked up that this is happening to you. This shouldn't be happening to you. Yeah, it shouldn't be happening to you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because it's going to take you and only you. You can get opportunities through friends and network, but make no fucking mistake. Those friends are not going to do the work for you or be the personality that you need to be in order to accomplish it. It's going to be you. So you can dick around all you want, read all the books you want, research, YouTube, all that stuff. But make no mistake, at the end of the day, it always leads back to you. You have control of your own life. Nothing outside of you has control. I don't give a fuck if you're in a shitty relationship, have a miserable mother or father, or whatever the case may be. You can take yourself out of that situation any goddamn time you want to. How bad do you want it? And that's what I'm going to leave you with. For those of you that want that insight and guidance and that 5 years of therapy all at one time, you know where to find me, chrismedina.guide. Sign up for a session, half hour, hour long. Let's get into it. Let's get you out of your own fucking way. Only place that I've been kind of, you know, hanging out lately is Instagram. I mean, I'll across all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even TikTok. I have a TikTok account. No content on there yet. But it's at Psychic Chris M. Take a look. See what's going on. I did not want to put a lot into this one episode because there's so much more to talk about. And I want to do this maybe next week, hopefully, or the week after.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many more things that, you know, that are going on that I want to share with you. But this was the icebreaker. This was the show that I had to do. So I will be back soon. And for those of you that have questions about today's episode or want to know more or don't understand some of the shit that I've been saying, hit me up. You guys know I'll go back and forth with you guys all fucking day. I fucking love it. Shout out to all my people that fuck with me. I'll be back. So until then, this is Chris Medina and my boy Jay saying we are out.